For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, did you miss me last week? Welcome to the party, pal. This week on Shift and Steer, you have just myself, Brad Fanshawe, and right across from me is moderator Matt DeAndrea. How you doing, Matt?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Not as good as Aaron, though, because Aaron was invited to tag along with his dad and the rest of the guys in the band to go on the Rockstar Cruise, which I believe is a Carnival cruise, out of Miami. And they're 4 days on the high seas with all kinds of guys out there playing. I know Sammy and Mikey are playing along with their band, Vic and my old mind isn't remembering Jason Bonham. And then Billy Gibbons and Matt Sorum are playing. And you told me that you heard Brett Michaels and his band Poison are playing.
I don't know if Poison's playing, but I thought Brett Michaels was out there too.
So yeah.
I'm sure it's a pretty good fun lineup. They're gonna have a good time.
Yeah, and Niles Campbell's on the cruise too.
So I looked at Aaron's already been posting stuff up there, and it's interesting because the stuff on the cruise ship, it looks more like a kid's cruise. It's like climbing walls and pools, and it like doesn't really look like an adult cruise. It looked more like a, like you said, like a Carnival cruise or something like that.
Matt, that's so that the parents can put the kids at the water slides and then they can go drink and
so they can go do adult stuff.
I've never been on a cruise. I've never been on a cruise.
You know what? I haven't either.
And it's one of those things. I've talked to people, and one of the people told me something. I think it was a Disney cruise. They were like, one of the best things about it was that you can check your kids in. They get a wristband with like an RFID chip, so you can track them on your phone, and they get checked in into this area where there's all kinds of activities and stuff to do, but they can't leave. And I go, wow. So it's like kids' prison so that you guys can go drink. And he goes, yeah. So I was like, yeah.
I mean, I get it if you're a parent, but you know, you and I, like we decided not to go down that route. So for us, it's, if we took a cruise, I'm down for the adults only cruise.
What you're thinking that you wouldn't have a couple margaritas and go down one of those twisty water slides, or?
I mean, it might be kind of fun, but I just don't need to hang out with all.
I know. I don't want
to. As much as I mean, they do have some fun stuff though. Like they have the go-kart track or something up there.
Right.
That'll all be fun to do. You know, although on the adult cruise, maybe you get to have a few cocktails and then hit the go-kart track. Then
there, yes.
Then you make it a little bit more interesting.
Oh my God. You brought up go-kart track, and I'm going to have to get back to this. It wasn't part of our agenda for the show, but I've now that
the house
up,
you're talking about the house.
You saw the house.
Everybody has
in
seen
Chandler,
the house.
Arizona.
It is everywhere. It's been all over social media. The house in Arizona, it's like $20 million.
It is like if you, I swear to God, whoever built this house must have won like a lottery and said, well, I'm building the house because it makes no sense, but it's cool. You know, it's one of those places. I mean, that go-kart track is not, the first thing I noticed was huge giant go-kart track with what's it have, like 9 electric go-karts, and then it has this cool house for them to go into that is like not just a garage, it's multiple levels.
Oh, but, yeah, it's got a full like pit room, pit stop yeah. area for the go-karts.
Did
and
you
stuff.
Notice that it was all concrete? It yeah. is not asphalt. So just the cost of that track was phenomenal. And what else did it have? It had an indoor gun range. It had a covered air-conditioned basketball court that was like full size. It had and everything. It has everything. Did yeah. you see the driving simulators?
Big man cave area as well, and garages and.
Did you check out those driving simulators that they had? They
were top
them
in the
of the line.
The house is like 10,000 square foot, and then the man cave garage is 6,000 square
right.
feet.
Right. It's on 5 acres or something like that, or it's just
yeah. Now it's funny because I look at this and this is kind of cool and it's fun, and you look at the big piece of property it's on, and it's all fenced in and trees, so it's kind of unassuming. You probably don't even really notice it that much, and it's got still fields around it. And like, first of all, you're looking at this and you're going, you can never build this in California. There's no way get a permit.
No.
I mean,
no,
aside from the cost, it doesn't even matter where. It's like, you wouldn't even get a permit for this. They would just look at this and go, no. They're like, it's too cool. It's too much fun. We're not doing that. We don't do that.
Exactly. It's not green enough.
Yeah.
But
it's a cool place.
It's so cool, but it makes no sense. It really makes, because what is it? It's this ginormous place. And what is it? 5 bedrooms? I mean, it's
got the gaming stations that you talked about. It has a workout room. It has a dance studio. It has a golf simulator
mm-hmm.
in there. There are 7 go-karts. And then the track all around the property. You're right. There's a shooting range and there's a walk-in safe.
Yeah. Oh, the walk-in safe is huge. It's gigantic. And it looks like it's empty, and it looks yeah. like, you makes you wonder, what did it get repossessed? Did it get, you know, it's like, what drug cartel guy owned this because he couldn't leave, you know, it had to be his own, you know, it's just everything about it is just weird, you know? So it's
right. The basketball court is it's not exactly indoor, but it's got a big, like tin cover on
covered
it,
you know, it's got big, huge, big ass fans.
Yeah. It's got the big ass fans in it and stuff. And yeah, it's a cool place. Honestly though, I don't have this many friends. Like, what would I do with all the fun stuff to play with? I'd have like 4 people come over. That's about it.
Yeah. It's, you'd have a lot of friends if you had that place.
Yeah, I guess.
It'd be like, oh, hey, let's go over to Matt's, man. And, you know, all you have to do is say kegger, you know?
Yeah.
Kegger. But,
I have to put Bravago on tap.
There you go. Hey, we'll grab one of the aerial photos they had of this place and put it up. We'll put it up on the Instagram for Shift and Steer, because it is it's like, if you're a big kid and you have unlimited money, that's, you know, you would have this place. It would be.
Yeah. By the way, in California, this place would be 200 million, not 20 million.
I know. And I see, I think of things. The first thing I look at is I think of, what is the cost and the maintenance and the taxes on this place?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the maintenance alone, the pool is huge. It's everything is commercial grade, commercial quality. And I mean, it's just, wow. It's crazy. And there's so much that could go wrong there. You know, alcohol and that facility just do not mix, because you got a gun range, you've got a go-kart track, you've got a, you know, a wave pool. You got so much that could go wrong. So, but anyways, back to the cruise that we diverted from. But be sure to go to our Instagram. We'll put that photo up today, so it'll be there. And so this cruise goes 4 days. They're cool. They get to live the life of rock stars, because they are.
Well, they are. They've earned it.
They have.
I wasn't sure if I was ready to mention this yet, but I'm selling my sack. my SAC Mustang, the
You
MK1.
are.
I am. I mean, we've got I mean, the truth is I bought the car as an investment car. I've had it for a couple of years now. I've put 20 miles on it. And I drove it the other day to take it out and photograph it. And it's fun. I like driving it. It's not something that you can really drive and expect to get the value out of. I could find something higher mileage and drive that. But also, you know, we've got Bravago. It's a company that I've got to invest more into. And that's why I had the car and it's going to go up on Bring a Trailer. I just approved the listing and we did the videos and the photos. As we're recording this, I don't think the listing is live, but by the time you listen to this show, the listing will probably be live. So, it's a cool car. And we talk about cars all the time. Like, what are good collectibles? What are good collector cars for, you know, 100,000 or less. And this, I think really kind of falls into that realm. As you guys know, you'll read about it on Bring a Trailer. You know, this is number 50. They made 62.
I couldn't remember.
They made 62 production cars and a few prototypes. I think there's like 65 in total. It's got 3,000, 361 miles or something on it, something like that. 3,300.
And it is now fully wrapped with Bravago branding, right?
We didn't wrap it. If you buy it, you can have some Bravago. I'll put it in the trunk. But the only thing that I've done to the car since I got it was when I got it, the first thing we did is we changed all the fluids, everything, oil, coolant flush, diff, you know, brake fluid, just wanted everything, just kind of fresh fluid in it. And then, we detailed out the car. I didn't do
you ice blast the underside.
Yeah, we did. So, on the exterior, I didn't do a full like paint correction. That's just not original. Maybe you want to do it on your supercar. And if you're going to wrap it with PPF or something, but I just did a full clay bar, a full polish and a wax on it and made it as nice as possible and keeping it original. And then, yeah, the dry ice blasting, which I think really came out well, is the whole underside of the vehicle was done. The wheel wells were done. The door jams were done. The engine compartment, they can do the hood liner in there and then the complete engine compartment. So all the gook and stuff you'd see like around the power steering reservoir cap and the brake booster and all that, it's all clean.
I was really impressed with how that turned out because it does. It goes back to natural original, not like overdone, you know?
Right. So all of the original like paint pen marks and stuff from the factory under the car and even in the engine compartment all stay retained. And the beauty of the ice blasting is like, you could do like some interior panels. You can clean things. You can basically turn up the volume on it and have it essentially like remove rust, or you can dial it back and just have it be a more delicate cleaning process. And there's no abrasion or anything on the car. So anyway, it came out great. I'm sure I got to wipe it down underneath a little bit because I, you know, drove it, you know, put an extra two more miles on it so I can take it out and photograph it. But it is such a cool car to drive. It's so
good looking little car. Yeah. Somebody should grab that.
It's like 295 horsepower rated back in the day with that GT40 engine package. And that was the car. The Mustangs are the cars that I grew up on, and having that engine package, you realize like what a nicely dialed in little engine that is for the day with the T5 transmission, which shifts pretty well. It's just a kind of,
and
a
it has
car.
Motorator provenance.
Yeah, it does. It's the third owner. The first owner who bought it new, owned it for a long time. And I think that gentleman passed away. And then somebody else got it in New Jersey. And then I bought it from that guy. So anyway, it's a,
I know
it's a cool
you were excited
car.
When you got it. And I'm sure it's hard to get rid of, but we all have business obligations.
Like I'm so torn about getting rid of it, but it's just one of those things that just has to happen.
Here's how it goes. So whoever buys it, just know that when Matt makes it big with his Bravago, he's going to pay you three times as much to get it back, probably. So
it'll probably be worth it by the time it comes out. Listen, I was talking to my friend who I think you were out at Barrett Jackson with me, that 93 Cobra R. It was, you know, it was the wrapper car. It was like, I don't know how many miles, 90 miles or something on it.
It was like brand new.
And it was, you know, it was just completely untouched. Paid like $120,000. And people were blowing up. They're like, that's the most ever paid for that car. And
what was
you
he
know,
thinking?
You're out of your mind. Money. And it's been a few years now, probably 4 or 5 years. And he's got multiple people hitting him up for more than double on that car, you know. And Meekum had two of the SAC Mustangs like I have now. These were wrapper cars. One was like 14 miles and the other was 190 miles. You know, they were pretty new. And one didn't meet the reserve at 115,000. And the other one, I think, was 134,000. So they're doing well. And then look, on Bring a Trailer, you'll see another one. It had 50,000 miles and it was repainted. So it was a cool car and definitely the one you want to get if you want to drive it. But even that one sold for over 60,000, you know, with 50,000 miles on it. So I you know, I think we're looking at something fair in that range.
For people that want to find it on Bring a Trailer, kind of do a description because, you know, it's SAC, correct? It's not
SAAC. It's Shelby American Automobile Club, right. SAAC. So we say SAC car because it's funnier to say that that way. But also on all of my social media, I'll put links up to it as well. So you'll see it all over there up on Motorator on my social media. But yeah, if you look for SAC Mustang, SAAC on Bring a Trailer.
Like the racing series. Yeah.
Yeah. And I put a video up on the YouTube channel, on the CarCast YouTube channel. I put some videos up there, a walk around video. And then the YouTube shorts, the little videos that they do, I show some of the ice blasting process, which those videos will be in the Bring a Trailer listing. So anyway, it's a cool car.
I don't know
car.
How they do that because I tried to crush some ice up and spit it on an exhaust pipe and it didn't.
Yeah.
Work.
You really gotta put some effort into it. Yeah. You really gotta, you know, take a deep breath and try
it. Try it over. I'll try it this week.
So buy that car. Somebody should buy that car.
Somebody should and pay a lot for it. It's a good investment. So hey, just a quick reminder, this is episode 426, just like the Hemi.
Sweet.
Just like the Hemi. So you know what, man? We're gonna go big on this one.
Speaking of Hemi. Let me add this about Dodge real quick before we get into the other stuff.
Okay.
You know, the Dodge electric charger that they came out and you saw.
I've got an Apple electric charger.
You saw. I think we saw this at SEMA. They brought the prototype to SEMA when they debuted it. It made the noise and stuff. And it's kind of interesting how Dodge is saying, we're going to make this electric muscle car. And then they kind of have to decide, are we going to make this a very, very cool electric car? Or are we going to try to emulate as much gas engine muscle car as possible in the electric platform? And I don't know how well that's going to be received. It's kind of like, if you're going to go electric, just do it electric, you know, and just make the coolest electric car you can. But here's the newest feature. So we know they added the fake exhaust tips. There's the fake engine noises, right? That when you rev it, it revs and you can hear it. And now they have what they are calling
fake exhaust. There's going to be smoke that comes out of the exhaust.
AVE, active vibration enhancement. And they're adding. They're adding vibrations to key areas of the body and on the chassis, like in the steering and braking, to simulate the feel of a V8 underneath the hood. So it'll kind of sound artificially like a V8, feel artificially like a gas-powered V8 car, possibly the fake exhaust tips on it as well, but I don't know. What's your take?
It's like
on
the driving simulator games where they vibrate and the seats move so that it feels like you're getting G's and like that. I mean,
you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because yes, the simulators have done so much work to make it like a real driving experience that now we have Dodge making a car and they're doing all this work to make it like a simulator experience. And it's just, it's a little interesting. So here's the question for you guys. If you go EV, or if you're, let's say you're doing an EV sports car or EV muscle car, if you will, do you make the coolest version of the EV, or do you try to make it as much like the gas engine car as possible? And I don't know. It's like, I guess there's kind of two sides of the fence.
You're going to go EV, just go EV. You know, don't try and make it what it was, because you're never going to please that market, because especially Dodge, who has owned that performance market for the last decade, you know?
Yeah. How many Fast and Furious movies have they paid for now? I mean,
I mean, it's like, but I mean, and how many guys have, you know, stomped on the exhaust, I mean, on the accelerator pedal, and you know, that it's, I don't know, man. It's a big, bold move.
It'll be interesting to see the audience that picks up this car. I think if you try, my thought is, if you try to emulate so much of the gas powered version, then the audience is the people who had the gas powered version, in which case they probably have that car already. Why not do something?
You're
going to
get
different?
The guys who are driving down the street wearing their Apple Vision headgear.
We saw that. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's interesting, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Oh, speaking of which, if you do a Google search, look for SEMA, SEMA, of course, SEMA show, you know, but they also do a lot of legislation. And one that they're working on right now is to fight a bill in the state of California that will try and make it illegal by 2035 to sell a gas-powered vehicle.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, hey, yeah, that sucks, but, you know, that's California. Sucks to be you. No, it was brought to my attention just today by Mike Spagnola, the head of SEMA, that there are 16, possibly 17 states that legislatively follow the lead on everything that California does. So if it passes here, it will automatically be effective in those states.
Yeah. So, you know, I just had Mike Spagnola, their CEO of SEMA, on CarCast. We, mm-hmm. Goldberg and I just did an interview with him. So you guys can go back and hear about that. That's up on the CarCast YouTube channel as well. You can watch it there and listen to that interview. I like Mike. Like, you and I have known Mike since back in the street scene equipment days kit company. And it's been a minute. And then he was kind of the driving force behind SEMA Garage. He was hired to build that out. So he'll tell you all about that on our.
Yeah. And don't think there's nothing you can't do about it, everyone, because they pre-format letters that all you have to do is put your name and address and sign the bottom and send it into your congresspeople, because it's a big thing for car people. You know, they want us to not be able to do that. They want us to drive chargers that vibrate.
But also they don't want us to be able to fix cars ourselves. We can't do any work on the cars. If you are in your driveway or in your garage and you're working on your car, they want that to be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Some states want that to be illegal.
Yeah, you know what they say. When cars become illegal, only mechanics will be the criminals. So, all right. Hey, so
what else is going on?
We have been at Barrett Jackson many a times up there in the skybox. And who have we seen sitting up there other than Frankie Munoz? I hope I'm pronouncing his name right.
Munoz.
Who you might know from Malcolm in the Middle, the guy who was on that show. But did you know he's a big car guy? Matt and I have seen him there many times, bidding on cars, hanging out.
Didn't see him this year.
A few times. No, he wasn't there this year. I think he's got something else going on. But you mentioned you already knew that Frankie had been racing in the ARCA series.
Yeah.
And he did quite well. It was surprising to me. He actually was leading the point standings through 2023 quite a number of times, up till the end of the season when his car started having some issues, and he still ended up fourth in the series. And now he's 38 years old, so he's getting into this a little bit later than most of the drivers, but he took the leap to NASCAR, and he raced in the Daytona 500 for his team. Now, he's sponsored by Ford and Joey Case. It's number 35, but one of the things that it doesn't matter if you're a famous actor or what, but he said in one quote that I read, Matt, was that last year was crazy. I was racing and my sponsorship was on, it was off, it was up, it was down. It was, yeah, it was going to happen. No, it wasn't going to happen. He goes, I didn't know until like right before that it really was. And then we got everything with Ford, we got everything done. And so, you know, that's the life of a racer. We've known enough racers that they live that every time their contract's up for renewal, you know?
I know you're right. He's been a car guy, a fan of cars for a long time. And when he was doing Malcolm in the Middle, he had a collection of cars before he was even old enough to drive them.
Yeah.
I remember that distinctly. And I believe he's done like the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race as well. And he's done
yeah,
that
and he
probably
raced
a couple
BMW
of times
for a while.
Yeah. So he's been into racing for a while. And then I'm not sure what kind of got him into it again recently, like in the past few years, what sort of stoked the fire with him. He's married now. He's got a kid. But you know, I think he's got some potential. Ford's got a lot of backing behind him. Ford's been working with him and the other drivers with a lot of their marketing and promotion and stuff. So and you know what, Frankie's got a good sense of humor. So if you follow him on social media or you see some of the stuff, his t-shirts and all the stuff, it's all good. It's all funny stuff. His most recent shirt was like, it was like a glamour shots, like high school photo kind of look. And it's on the shirt. It's good stuff. It's funny.
He ended the Daytona 500 33rd out of 38 cars, but he was part of that big 10, you know, car pileup right at the end, which right there, I got to give him props because he was in at the end. How many drivers do we see? They're out 4 laps in, 14 laps in, 40 laps in, you know, it's, he was there, he was running, and that takes some balls. And the other thing is, I saw an interesting quote. He said in the ARCA series, he said it was immediately, like when he started racing there, he said everybody was nice. He'd walk through the pits and other racers and teams would give him like tips and pointers. And he said, but that's kind of changed since I went up to the NASCAR Xfinity series. He goes, it's nice, but it's like going to a new high school. Everybody kind of gives you the eye like, yeah, who's that guy? He goes, I'm definitely not accepted yet. You know? So
yeah.
He's got a lot to do. He's got a lot to do. It's
I'm sure there's the whole, you know, sort of political behind the scenes aspect of it and just kind of how things work. And a lot of people are like, you know, it's a new guy. He doesn't get it yet. He'll get it eventually. But
exactly. And, oh, he's a celebrity. He thinks he can just come in here and, you know, but you know what? He didn't jump, you know, right in. He went through a year in ARCA. He's done other racing. And as you noted, he's always been a car guy. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, good for him, man. That's not easy. You don't just buy a seat and roll into NASCAR, you know, real easily. That's
right.
Those guys are going bumper to bumper 200 miles an hour plus. That's a big thing. You know where they're not going 200 miles an hour plus or bumper to bumper is the $1 million cars that are at the Aspen Ice Racing Festival that they held February 8th. It's called the FAT Ice Race. And this caught my attention, Matt, because when I was over in Switzerland one time, a number of years back, I had heard about this. It was, they held it every year in Austria, which just crossed, you know, not too far. And I wanted to check it out. And it was unbelievable. It was like this huge festival. And the best way to describe it is think Goodwood in the winter. and you know, all kinds of things going out. They kind of take over this entire town, and I really, that's all I knew about it. I just thought it was some cool thing. Then the originator, not the originator, but the person who brought it back, who's the grandson of Ferdinand Porsche, he brought it back along with someone else. And Fat comes from the name of his company. Fat is, I believe it's a marketing company that he owns. And back in the early 2000s, like 2019, I believe, not the early 2000s, but he brought this back. And excuse me, it was the early 2000s, but he had to stop it in 2019 because of the pandemic. Now he's brought it back. But they have added aspen. And what is so incredible about this is that when they started it in the 50s, it was held in the Austrian Alps, like I said. Ferdinand Porsche started it, but it was really to kind of feature Porsches. But then over the years, they would have 10,000 people show up. They would have motorcycles. They would have biplanes flying over. I mean, all kinds of really cool stuff. And it became quite the event. Up until 74, when they had a tragedy and it stopped. The tragedy was, at the time, it was held on a lake. And the snowplow that was cutting the course went through the ice and it went to the bottom. The driver died. And so they kind of just ended it, which, you know, for such a huge festival, it's tragic. But, you know, I don't know why they would end it, but they did. And it's been brought back. You got to check it out. We are talking super rare race cars that are out there on the ice, in the snow, and they're having a fun time. Over in Europe, they do like the race, but they also do like a rally where people can bring their regular cars and rally. And it's really neat. It's really neat. In fact, for quite a number of years, I've had a photo as one of my feature photo on my Facebook page of the one that I was at years ago. And it's really cool the way they go through town and everything like that. But did you see anything that caught your eye about that event?
So, but they've updated it now so they don't run it on a lake.
No, they run it at an airport. Yes.
They put ice down, like they prep a track now.
Yes. Like building an ice hockey rink or something. But
Yeah.
And they don't allow airplanes to land while they're racing either at the airport.
Which is probably a good thing. And there's a combination of, it's kind of like you were saying Goodwood, like the hill climb, like the Festival of Speed, because they have F1 cars with knobby tires. And, you know, they've got like 550 Spider Porsches out there. It's just like anything
that vintage
Hoonigan, and
that racing. 959 Hoonigan looking hill climber. It was out there, you know, so it's cool. You know, what's awesome is you see cars that usually you only see in a museum. And like, even when we go up to Monterey in August, you see some really rare cars like that, but they're in a sunny situation, you know, and it's, you know, but here they're out there dicing in the snow and ice. It's cool.
Yeah. Now it's kind of a higher end event now. It's turning into kind of like a Goodwood or a Monterey Car Week.
Yes. It's not cheap, not by any means. But neither is Aspen. I mean, you know, just getting a hotel room in Aspen is going to cost you an arm and a leg. And, you know, so I believe it was like $3,000 a person this year, and it'll probably go up just because of the fact that more people are going to want to go now that it happened and it came off so successfully.
Yeah. Well, so, if you like racing and you like cold, you can go to this event. If you like racing and you like warm, we'll see you in Monterey in August.
You know, either way, fire up the jet, jump in and just fly in and enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
So we need to find someone with a private jet that loves car events that we can tag along with, Matt.
So yeah.
We've
that would be nice.
We haven't had that. So
with EV on EV that's coming out, would they be able to just kind of do it all on their own? Probably on their own, but I don't know. If you got a lot of money and you like Porsches and you like electric cars, tell Porsche you want one of these.
You know what? I think there's a lot of guys that have money, like Porsches, and would just like to have one.
Just like to have one. Yeah. All right.
So
I think they'll do fine with it. All right. Yeah. Let's wrap it up so we don't lose this episode with your wonky computer there.
I don't know what's going on today. It's been really weird all day, but let's not take a chance and lose it. But Matt, where can they find us online and where can they find those pictures of that go-kart house?
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com. You can follow me at Motorator, and I'll put links up to the bring a trailer listing for the Mustang, and and we'll put pictures up I think of the go-kart house if you haven't seen it already.
So yes, and follow me at Bradley_Fanshaw, and as Matt said, go to the Instagram for Shift Steer Media and we'll put that house with the go-kart track, and we'll also copy his link and make sure that you can easily find his sack for sale. So, so anyways, I'm sure Aaron will be back with some tall tales of the high seas and rock and roll when he gets back next week. So be sure to tune in to Shift and Steer, and we will be back. That is a promise, not a threat. Thanks, everybody.
Like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.